Good morning. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as does a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." The Bible talks about creation as being like a garment. And in the beginning, if you go to Genesis chapter 1, we'll be looking at that. And we'll be looking at the first 8 verses of Genesis chapter 1. In Acts chapter 7, verse 49, it says, "Heaven is thy throne, and earth is thy footstool. What house wilt thou build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of thy rest?" Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll give me the gift of teaching today, Lord, and I pray that you'll bless this message, and I pray that people will have a better understanding of how big our God is, and how big creation is, and how one day it's all going to be destroyed and be recreated a perfect place. Lord, I pray, give me the power of the Holy Spirit and let me read from your word, and let nothing proceed out of my mouth that would be contrary to your precious and holy word. In Genesis chapter 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." It's often called the gap theory whenever you separate chapter 1 or verse 1 from verse 2. But if you look at these verses real close, you'll notice something, that God created the heavens and the earth, but in verse 2 it says, "And the earth was without form or void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." God does not create anything in chaos. He creates it perfect every time. So we're looking at something that happened to the earth between verse 1 and verse 2. And when it talks about the face of the deep, it's not talking about the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean. He's talking about something far greater than that. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. "And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." And this water he's talking about is not Noah's flood. It is about the great deep that he mentions in verse 2 of Revelation chapter 1. Let's continue. "Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." In the beginning, the Bible indicates that the earth was in heaven, in the presence of God. And there was a person put over the earth that was given dominion over the earth, and his name was Lucifer. We'll find that in Ezekiel chapter 28 here in just a minute. But in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says, "According he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love." Everything that God does is not happenstance. It's all done by is all thought out ahead of time. He never goes, he never wonders what's going to happen next. God knows. He knows the beginning and he knows the end. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God before the foundations of the world. He was all about this creation that God did was all done prior to his creation. If you look at these ages, there are six ages that are listed in the Bible. We have the creative age. That's when the earth was, heaven and the earth was created, the original earth. And then something happened that caused this earth to go chaotic. It was without form or void. That, and then we come to the creative week, and we have Eden, the Garden of Eden, Adam, the age of consciousness, or the antediluvian age, the age before the flood. And then we have the flood. Things got so bad and so chaotic that God destroyed the earth with a flood. The present age that we now live in, and the age of law that took place after Moses. And then we come to Christ, the atonement, and the age of the kingdom of God. And then we have the kingdom, the great tribulation, and then we go into the kingdom age, the kingdom of heaven. And then we have the white throne judgment and the perfect age in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 and 2. All these have to take place in order for God's plan to be completed. And just like everything else, man has gotten so far away from the Bible that this is not even taught anymore, and people don't know about what I'm about to teach on. But there's a lot of good preachers out there that still believe this and teach it. I'm not the only one. There's a lot out there. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 7, it says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, were kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." What we have here is the earth is like a... The earth is like... We get into chapter 6. "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters." The Bible says in verse 2, it says, "The earth was in the water and out of the water." It was like in the water and out of the water. It was bobbing around. Then God comes in and says, okay, I'm going to recreate the heavens, and I'm going to recreate the heavens and the earth. So he has to form something to where the earth is no longer in the water or out of the water. And there's a complete, this deep, he creates a water above the firmament and below the firmament. So we have the deep here and the deep here. And then outer space and the 48 constellations are put right in here in the middle. And of course he takes the earth and puts it here in the middle. And the reason he puts it in the middle is because the water, he has to separate the deep from the deep. Now, you say, well, why did he do that? Up here in the north is heaven. When you look up through space, all you see is blackness and darkness. And this is where the devil is. We'll go in verse Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" So Satan, when the earth was up here with God, Satan rebelled against God and wanted to put his seat in the north sides of the north where God exists. He wanted to be like the Most High, and God cast him down into the deep. So the devil is now here in the deep, where the earth was at one time. This is where all the fallen angels and all, you know, when God says, "I will cast your sins into the deepest sea," he's not talking about the oceans. He's talking about the deep. Look in verse 6. It says, "And God says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so." So you have water above and you have water below the firmament. And the reason he did that is because he doesn't want you to see heaven. Because we live by faith. We don't live by sight. If we could see heaven, if this deep wasn't here, we could see straight up into heaven. And God doesn't want that. And down below here is probably where the lake of fire is. So you have the lake of fire beneath the deep in the southern hemisphere. So God hides hell and he hides heaven. Because if you could see either one, you would know it was true, and it would be, you wouldn't be living by faith, you'd be living by sight. One day we will live by sight, but right now we can't. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13, God talks about Lucifer and his fall. In Ezekiel in verse 13, it says, Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of the tabrets of thy pipes was prepared for thee in the day that thou was created. Here this Satan was created the most beautiful cherub in heaven. He was over the throne of God. He provided light and music for the throne. Verse 14, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the mountains of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." So Satan was perfect. He was over. He provided light for the throne. He provided music for the throne. And he was perfect when he was created. But then everything is perfect until tested. When God created Adam, he created him perfect. But when Adam and Eve was tested, they failed the test. And so on and so forth. Everybody fails the test. There's only one that has never failed, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We look at, in verse 13, it says, in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, it says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will set also upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north." If you want to know where God is, he's in the north. He's on the sides of the north. That's where Zion is, the mountain of God. Satan wants to be there. God says no. God's not going to share his glory with anyone. We look at the all of our Christian holidays. We have Christmas and we have Easter. And every time Christmas comes around, a guy named Santa Claus comes around. Santa Claus has a red beard or a white beard. He has a red garment. If you go to Isaiah chapter 63, there's another person that wears a red garment. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go to Revelation chapter 1, Jesus Christ has white hair and white beard. So does Santa Claus. But Santa Claus is not Jesus Christ. He's a counterfeit. When you go to Easter, you have the Easter Bunny, and you have all these characters that pop out of the woodwork to try to draw attention away from the King of Heaven. Satan doesn't want God to be worshipped. He wants the worship. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 25, says, I will raise up one from the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun, shall he be called upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and upon as a potter treadeth on clay. And that is the one that is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Lucifer will do anything to receive worship. He wants to draw everyone's attention away from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you look at this in a scientific way, you have to say, okay, if I'm going to create some place for someone, first of all, I have to create space. So God created space between the waters, and then he created matter. If you ever notice in the fourth day of creation, God also created the stars and the moon and all the constellations. Of all the things that he said was good, God didn't say that area was good, because something exists in this area that's not good, and that's Satan. And we war against him 24/7. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 and 8, it says, it doesn't deal with the earth at all. It deals with this area between the deep and this empty space and the deep. God had to create that in order to put the earth and the stars and the heavens where they are today. Our Lord created a big bubble. If you look at, go to NASA, or if you go on any kind of website where they show the constellations, you're going to see a map of these constellations. And NASA took all the constellations, they mapped them out, they put them in a computer, and the computer drew a big circle with all 48 constellations with trillions of stars, and of course Earth is in the middle in that area, in that empty space. And if you take that map and just put it over between the two deeps, that's what we're dealing with. When NASA set the Hubble telescope up, they came up with an article, and they thought they were real clever until they found out, well, wait a minute, some people were saying, well, that's in the Bible. First time they sent Hubble telescope up, they said, we're going to look up as far out into outer space as we possibly can. So they did, and they said, this is amazing. There's water out there. And somebody said, well, the Bible says there's water out there. But there's something else. There's a grid out there, an interlocking grid that's keeping the water back from this space. And somebody said, well, that's what the Bible says. And then all of a sudden, you couldn't find that article anywhere. I looked everywhere on the internet to try to find it, and you can find about anything on the internet, but you can't find that anymore. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. If you look at that and you draw it out, you got the breadth, the width, and the height, you got a four-dimensional object, just like a pyramid. So this thing is actually shaped like a pyramid with four sides. It hides, it's hiding something. It's black. It's dark. There's something that God does not want us to see. And that's heaven and hell, or the lake of fire. In Job chapter 26, verse 7, it says, "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing." So, what we have here is a diagram, or a kind of a picture of what God was doing when He stretched out the empty place. The empty place is space. He stretched it out. He put earth right in the middle and He hung it on nothing. In Job chapter 37:9 it says, But out of the south cometh the whirlwinds, and the cold out of the north. If you looked at this, heaven, there's no time, there's no aging, there's nothing. This heaven is complete, absolute zero. There's no heat in heaven. You say, well, I'll get cold when I get up there. You will have a glorified body. You won't feel cold or hot. But if you go the exact opposite, you go down, below the deep down here, it's very hot. If you look at a compass will always point towards the north. The north is where God is. If I take this handkerchief and I drop it, it goes down. That's where man's going to go if he rejects the sun. In the Bible, it says that when you die, that two angels will carry you into glory. In hell, you don't have to be carried. You just naturally go there because of your rejection of Jesus Christ. In Job chapter 37, verse 22, it says, "Fair weather cometh out of the north with God." It's a terrible majesty. The biggest thing that our church has to deal with is that people are trying to bring Jesus Christ down to us. He's trying to make man in His image instead of who God truly is. He's a terrible majesty. He's more than awesome, like a lot of people like to use the word awesome, but he's far greater than that. You can't explain God. In Psalm chapter 48, verse 2, it says, "Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king." He's in the sides of the north. These are the sides of the north. The top of the pyramid are the sides of the north. There's doors in this place that God talks about, and these doors open periodically. And when that door opens, something usually comes out or is ready to come out. He also says that there's windows in heaven. And these windows are opened up every once in a while, and blessings are poured out on people or curses. When Saul was on his death, or being stoned to death, he looked up and he saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. He was ready to return. Those doors were open and Stephen could see into heaven. When Paul was on his way to Damascus, the doors opened up again and this light shined out on Paul and a voice came out to Paul, "Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me?" And Paul was changed from hating the Christians to being one of them. So these doors are open in heaven and they're closed in heaven. And of course, one day this door is going to be open, and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to descend and meet us in a cloud. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the seventh day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. This goes against all teachings of some of the creationists. They claim that the fountains of the deep broke open in the earth, and water spewed out and came back down as rain and flooded the earth 15 cubits over the highest mountains. The Bible says that God broke open the deep, which Job says that this area through here is frozen. God broke it open, and water poured out of the windows of heaven down to this earth, flooded it, and then God turned around when the flood was over with, and the water was on the earth for about 407 days, and God took the water back and put it back into the deep. You say, well, how can God do that? God can do anything He wants. Man tries to put limits on what God can do, but go with His word. You never make a mistake by following His word. The Song of Solomon says, chapter 2, verse 9 says, my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. We talked about this grid. NASA talked about a grid. A grid is nothing more than intersecting lines like lattice. God looks through the lattice and the windows, it says, and looks at His beloved. His beloved is here on this earth. One day He's coming back for us, and hopefully it'll be soon. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, He says, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The reason a lot of people aren't being blessed is because they're robbing God, and they're trying to take away His deity. They're trying to take away so many things, and God is shutting these windows. And we look at this earth in the chaotic state that it's in right now, and it's only going to get worse. Of course, here in Knoxville, we had floods, but they're having floods all over the world. They had a desert in Chile. It's one of the driest places on the face of the earth. It only gets a 0.1% of an inch of rain a year. And the other day, it rained so hard that they had floods, and it was disrupting the ecosystem there. And then you've had floods in every corner of the earth. Indonesia is one that's been really hit hard here lately. We've had all kinds of disasters, hurricanes, all this stuff's happening constantly. The earth is in a turmoil. The Lord Jesus Christ is getting ready to come for His bride and to reign, to pour vengeance out on this earth, His wrath. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 35, it says in this verse, when they were crucifying Jesus Christ, that they parted His garments. In 35 it says, and they crucified Him and parted His garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted My garments among them, and upon My vesture did they cast lots. Now, you look at this and you say, well, what's that got to do with the deep? When you look at this, if I take off my coat, and I hold it out, It has a form of a triangle. And the way that God, the garment that Jesus Christ took off was like a square with a round hole in it. And they put it over their head like a poncho, and it draped over his body like a pyramid. When Jesus Christ took that off, his nakedness was on display to the world, and they mocked him, and they scourged him, they made fun of him. They did all this stuff against my Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, this is what's really, really wild. One day, all this is going to be removed. It's going to be taken away. The deep, the void, the earth, everything, the heavens and the earth will be destroyed, and there'll be nothing but a big white throne. When Jesus Christ took off his garment and he revealed his nakedness on the cross, he was paying the price for me and for you. The price that he had to pay was being naked and being mocked and being ridiculed and being embarrassed. He was hanging on the cross for us. That garment was removed because if I hadn't received Jesus Christ, my garment would have to be removed one day. If you go to, I wrote down some notes here, and I'll read it. The robes that were removed from the Lord Jesus Christ before his crucifixion is a type of what will happen to the cosmos after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. The fabric of time and space will be done away with, along with the deep. In addition, they that have rejected God's plan of redemption will stand naked before him at the great white throne judgment, where there will be no more sea of glass to stand on, but there will be nothing. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All this will be done away with, and nothing but a throne. And everyone will be standing in their bodies, because death and hell are reunited, just like when your bodies will come out of the grave, just like they did with the Christians at the rapture, and their souls will come out of hell, and they'll reunite at the white throne judgment, and they'll be standing naked before an almighty God. One who is pure righteousness. And they'll probably be down on their faces, and their names will be called. And right before they're thrown into this lake of fire that's exposed once again, this lake that deep will be gone, and you'll look below you and see this big lake of fire down below. You'll be picked up, but before you're picked up, you'll bow your knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then a big angel is going to toss you into the lake of fire where you're going to burn forever and ever and ever. But those who have received Jesus Christ will be on the other side. They won't be with the crowd. They'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Their sins were forgiven when they received Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Jesus Christ paid everything that we would possibly have to go through in the judgment, the wrath of God. Jesus Christ took it on the cross and bore it for us. Hebrews chapter 1:10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail thee. Judgment day, there's not going to be any place to stand. You're not going to be able to brag. You're not going to be able to boast. You're not going to be able to say, well, I need a second chance. You've had your second chance. And you're going to be cast into the lake of fire if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month and the 17th day of the month, the same day there were all the fountains of the deep broken up, and the windows of heavens were open. In verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 2, it says, and the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain stopped. So, all this deep was poured out onto the earth. It flooded it. Then God removed it. If you look at 8, chapter 13, it says, and it came to pass in the 600th first year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Where did the water go? God sucked it up. You can't, there's no place for that water to be put other than for God to remove it from this earth. And the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. God had to remove the water. In Job chapter 38, verse 30, it says, the waters are hid with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Every time you look into space, all you're going to see is darkness. If I looked at, if I have a mirror, and I take that mirror, and one side I see a reflection, but on the other side it's just black. That's what you're seeing. That's what the world is seeing. They're seeing the blackness when they're looking up into space. God is not going to reveal heaven until we're ready for it. And God's not going to let you know that there's a lake of fire waiting for you until He's ready. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1, it says, it tells us who was in this deep. And in that day, the Lord, with His sore and great strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. One day, God's going to slay that dragon. But first, God is going to punish the earth. He's going to rain His wrath down on this earth. And we're about there. I was reading the other day an article that the abortionists are saying that they need to celebrate abortions like we celebrate showers. How depraved and how deviant has man become? They're teaching people in Germany why the Muslims have the right to rape women who are not Muslim. The world is completely lost their minds. The other day, it snowed in Russia. The snow was black. Last year, they had orange snow. This year, they have black snow. How does that happen? God is about ready to rain His wrath down on this earth. But before that, He has to remove His people. There's also something else in this deep. In Jude chapter 1, verse 6, it says, and the angel which kept not their first estate, but left their habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So those angels that are kept in darkness are underneath this deep, and one day they're going to be coming out, or one day they're going to be judged. Job 41:1. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou hast let us down? Canst thou put a hook in his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? The only person who can defeat Satan is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's about ready to do it. Now, people dispute the rapture, but in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, Moses takes the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt after the Passover, and he ventures down till he comes to the Red Sea, and there's mountains around him and in front of him, and there's nowhere to go, and he's got the Egyptian army behind him. God says, this is going to be a picture for you. In verse 13 it says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." So someone was trying to keep the children of Israel from going across the Red Sea. This is a picture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, it says, "Now, for all those things which happened unto them," and it's talking about Moses and the children of Israel, "were for in samples or examples to us. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So this is a picture of something that's going to happen in the future. And you say, well, what's going to happen? Well, first of all, you have the children of Israel crossing a Red Sea. And it's a Red Sea for, it was named a Red Sea for a specific purpose. It represents the sea, the deep, but it also represents the blood. Right after the Passover, it took them 3 days to come down. And if you go to the Passover and you count 3 days of Jesus Christ being in the heart of the earth, and of course he comes out and he goes into he takes the saints of old and he goes up into heaven. He escorts them into heaven. The children of Israel were crossing the Red Sea after they received the blood. They went across on dry ground, but the mist of the river, of the water, is called a baptism of some of Moses' baptism. Something was trying to keep them from going across. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, it says that, "And after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven." This door was opened that's in heaven. And Jesus Christ descends out of that heaven, goes through the deep, comes down to the earth, and rests above the earth in a cloud. He doesn't come on the earth, he just comes in a cloud. And I've wrote another lesson on clouds. God never goes anywhere without a cloud. But it says, "A trumpet talked with me and says, Come up hither, and I will show you things that must be hereafter." Of course, he's talking to John, and John is a type of the church, and he pulls John up into the second or to the third heaven. What happens is that Jesus Christ descends, comes down through the deep, rests on the cloud above the above the earth, calls the dead Christ to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up to be with him in the cloud. And then we'll forever be with the Lord. We'll ascend back up. Moses escorted the children of Israel through the Red Sea. Jesus Christ, Moses was a type of Christ. Jesus Christ himself will descend, call his church up, And he will escort us through the deep, just like Moses took the children of Israel through. And there's things in that deep that don't want you to get there. We talked about Lucifer. We talked about the fallen angels. They don't want you to ascend into heaven. But God, Jesus Christ himself, will escort you through the deep into heaven. So far, we've talked about two types of raptures. The first fruit rapture, right after Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He took the saints back up into heaven with him when he ascended into heaven. They were escorted. The church has to be escorted through the deep. But when you get down to Revelation chapter 12, he talks about Satan being cast and the angels will be cast down to the earth. And then he talks about Moses and Elijah and the 144,000 being raptured back up. But it doesn't talk about it, Jesus Christ coming down to get them. He just calls them up. There's a difference here. And the difference is there's nothing in the deep to stop them. There's no Pharaoh, there's no devil, there's no angels to stop them. They have free passage to glory. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 15, verse 2, and you'll see it in Revelation chapter 4, verse 6, it talks about a sea of glass. Remember, Job said that there is a sea of glass that you'll be walking on in heaven, in the third heaven. That sea of glass is like that mirror that I was talking about earlier. Down below, you see nothing but darkness. But when you stand where you see your reflection, that is in heaven. And all the glory of God is reflecting off that glass, and it's going to be one of the brightest places you've ever seen in your life. You'll have to have special eyes to see in heaven. We'll have to have a glorified body to be in heaven. But when we're in heaven, we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be looking at our reflection on that sea of glass. And a lot of us are going to be excited because we have been conformed to the image of Christ, and we're going to see that our new bodies are a reflection of Him. The Bible says that we're co-heirs with Christ. We're not only co-heirs with Christ, but we're even going to look like Christ. We're going to be conformed to His image. In Revelation chapter 15, verse 2, talks about the tribulational saints. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over the image, and over the mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having harps of God. What a glorious day that's going to be. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, the Bible talks about us coming back. And of course, we're going to be on horses. In verse 20, it says, "And the beast was taken, and him that, and the false prophets that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." So this lake of fire is mentioned in Revelation chapter 19. They're no longer in hell. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And there's no escape from the lake of fire. There's no escape from hell. But one day you'll be taken from hell at the white throne judgment and judged again. And you're going to be saying to yourself, "I hope I make it this time. I hope that he shows me mercy. I hope, I hope, I hope." But when you reject Jesus Christ, you've lost all your hope. You say, "Well, why is God cruel like that?" God is not cruel. God made us in His image. And if you don't have his image, if you reject his son who took the wrath that we were to take, he took it on himself, why do you think God is going to have mercy on you? He is going to pick you up, make you confess that he's the Lord, and then he's going to cast you into the lake of fire. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, and this brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever." God is going to lock Satan up for 1,000 years. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 20. And after that 1,000 years, Satan is going to be loose for a short time to deceive the nations. Once he deceives the nations, he's going to lost my train of thought. He's going to allow that Satan to be loosed to deceive the nations, and then as soon as he deceives the nations, he's going to take Satan and he's going to cast him into that lake of fire, and then the white throne judgment. But God says that all this is going to be destroyed, except for the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. All that's going to be destroyed. And the only thing that God's going to have when he's finished is a throne. Once that's all done, then God is going to recreate a new heaven and a new earth. And this heaven will have planets in it, will have the earth in it. It will have the New Jerusalem descend from heaven at the shape like a pyramid on top of a pyramid, if you want to. There will be no need for the sun, but there will be a sun, because the light of God will light the whole heavens. And there'll be nothing but, there'll be no boundaries, there'll be no pyramid shape. It'll be all open. And the eternity, God's kingdom will expand and expand and expand and expand and expand. That's why he said, "I'll make you priests and kings." Not all of us can be king of the earth. Not all of us can be king of Los Angeles or London. But we can be, with 6 quadrillion stars out there without number, God is going to repopulate the heavens. And he'll use us, a reflection of his image, to rule over those planets. And he'll take the population of the earth that has went through the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, went through the white throne judgment, and are now on this earth, when the earth is populated to a point where God will start expanding out, and God's kingdom will go out forever. The Bible says that his kingdom is without end. It's ever expanding. It's going to be ever, that whole area out there will be populated. And people say, "Well, why can't we do it now?" Because of sin. Sin confines us to this earth. Outer space is going to have to be destroyed because of sin, and the rebellion of the angels that have rebelled against God will have to be destroyed. And a new heavens and a new earth will have to be recreated. The big question is, do you know him? If you don't know him, there's nothing for you. Now, this lesson is about a two-hour lesson. I'm trying to get it within a few minutes. But I'm not the first person to teach this lesson. I probably won't be the last person to teach this lesson. But this goes back in books 100 years old. And it says, And basically the whole purpose of these books and the Bible is the big question, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You can't trust in a prayer. You can't trust in catechisms. You can't trust in oaths and you can't trust in the fact that you're going to do better. You have to trust in a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have Him, you have nothing. And your destination is down, just like gravity. Bam. But if you're born again, you're going to be carried into the arms of the Lord. Let's pray. Our dear and Father, Lord, I pray that this lesson was clear. I pray that, Lord, that it'll touch someone, encourage someone to study and to read. Lord, I always tell people, I said, don't go on one lesson. Study it and make it yours. Lord, I pray that you'll help them to make it theirs and help them to study the Word of God. And if there's anyone lost, that today will be their day of salvation. For I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, my blessed Lord and Savior.